Lord, we thank you for your testimony. We praise you, Father, for your blood that you shed for us. Lord, we ask that you work through us today. And if there are things that we need to pray about, Father, I ask that you bring them to whomever so that we can pray for them. Things that we don't know that's coming, but you do. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're placing it in our hearts to be intercessors and to intercede for the things that we need to, Lord, and to get in the Spirit and to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us in our daily prayer life. And Lord, place it in our hearts to sacrifice time for you. Sometimes it's hard. We get going day to day and daily things that we seem like we have to do. We seem like that we have to have this much sleep, when in fact, if we sacrifice a little time for you, you'll see that we make it through it without any problem. And Father, I praise you for that. Lord, be with us tonight. Work in our hearts. Lead us, guide us. Lord, it looks like the man child's on the way. Not only that, Lord, a lot of blessings for your children. And not only that, Lord, some of these people that have factioned out are going to come back and repent and be a part. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for draining the swamp of our government and putting your protection upon President Trump. And the same thing for the swamp for your church, Lord, that the enemy has tried and tried and tried to hinder the bride's walk. But we know by faith that we're victorious. And we don't have to worry about it because you're fighting those battles for us as we pray and we believe. And we praise you, Father, that you are placing it in our hearts to be sure and to pray for our brothers and sisters out there. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to do tonight in the name of Jesus. You're our great shepherd. You're leading your flock, Lord. You're taking care of the flock. You're sacrificing yourself for us, Lord. We sometimes don't realize that. We know that you have. You sacrificed yourself on the cross 2,000 years ago for us. And Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. So I know that most of us have trouble comprehending somebody doing it for us, but you did it. You've given us examples in your word, Lord, of people who gave up all, Lord, for you. And gave up all for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we give it all up to you. We want to do that. I know sometimes we say that, and the next thing you know, we're right back in the flesh. But Lord, we want to all walk continually in your Spirit to be led and to be guided by you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that's exactly what's going to happen tonight. And we praise you, Father, for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Boy, this is a praying bunch. I tell you what, you all prayed up everything. Glory be to God. It's going to be an awesome night tonight, I can tell. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody's filled up with the Holy Spirit, healed, delivered, and set free. Lord of God, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. We're off, Lord. Thank you for revival. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. Woo, prayed up bunch here. Go ahead, George.
Welcome to the Thrift House.
Amen, brother.
I just want to say thank you, God, for trials. Thank you for everything that I'm in the middle of and that our family's in and all the relations that are reaching out and helping you smack everybody around and get our attention. And we just thank you and we rejoice and we are so anticipating your answers, Lord. And we are giving up on all of our answers. We don't claim to have one except your word and your truth. And there's nothing else besides your truth, Lord, because nothing is making sense except your word. And I am so grateful for your word. And I am so thankful that you are a rock that we can build on, Lord. And I ask you to search out every seed that's ever been planted in a young man named Frankie Robertson, who's in a jail in South Georgia, and that you are turning his life around right now in the name of Jesus. And if there's ever been a good word to go in his ears and into his heart, that seed of your word is growing and maturing and seizing his life and showing him light right now, Lord. I praise God for grace. I thank you, Lord, that there's none that can't be reached with your word that always bears a harvest. And Father, if there's not any good word that's come to that young man, I pray that you would have laborers in the harvest reach him, touch his life, change his life forever, and do away with the old man right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that I don't have one enemy on this planet, because I love everybody that you've had come in contact with me and my family. And we've got nothing but love for all of them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for sending your angels down there to that boy right now. Thank you, Father, and minister to him. In Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
I just want to pray for Obadiah real quick. Lord, just pray that you would just bless him, Lord, and guide him in your ways and your paths, Lord, as he grows up to be a learner and follower of you, Lord. Lord, I just pray and thank you.
Did y'all hear that?
You're muted, Mike.
No, I'm not.
I'm walking.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear you now, yeah.
Joe said he couldn't hear me. Can anybody hear me? Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to mute Joe. You're muted the rest of the night, Joe. No more for you, buddy. Mm-mm, no way. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Gano.
I just wanted to lift up. I spoke with someone whose parents are farming, and I guess my eyes were kind of open to what a lot of them are going through in this area where there has been flooding. And a lot of it I really was not aware of, and it's not that far from me, only maybe 20 miles or so. But he was saying that because they do a lot of minimum tillage around here, the corn stalks, the big bales blocked the culverts so the water couldn't get through, so the water got really backed up, and they have piles of corn stalks that are like 10 foot deep, and no way to get that to dry out. And they were waiting for fall. They thought they could burn them, but we've had a lot of rain now, and so that's not going to be possible either. And he was just saying that it's really been a problem because the beavers and the woodchucks and the snakes have multiplied, and dead animals and all of this. And he said it's just really a heart-wrenching problem. And so I would just like to lift them up. And I guess some of them, the ones that raise cattle, they haven't been able to get in and put up hay. So they're going to have to sell part of their, you know, their herd of cattle because they don't have feed for them. Father, I know that nothing comes that's not sent from you. We know that you're in everything. And I just thank you, Father, for what you are accomplishing in the people who are undergoing these hardships. I pray that they would turn to you. They would look to you for your provision. And see that this is a time to turn to you, and that there is something that you are wanting to work through this, that their hearts would be open to your word, to repent of those things that they've perhaps left to be more important than you, to take up more of their time than you. And I just pray for your grace and mercy for each of them, that you will help them through this time, that you will sustain them. I just pray that they would seek you with all of their heart. And I thank you for what you are working in them. And I give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I also amen. Have a praise report.
Hang on, Dano. Let's go ahead and pray some more. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that your spirit of revival go through that country up there where the farmers are hurting, the people are going to hurt. And, Lord, I thank you that they're going to flock into the true churches of God, and revival will start out, Lord, and you will cleanse their land. I ask that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you send your spirit of revival up through there right now in Jesus' name, that they know that they can't do anything. It all comes from you, Lord. It's like they know sin. And I ask and I pray, Father, that they would drop down and repent and cry out to you, Father, the ones that know you already, Lord, that they would do that for their brothers and sisters. I ask that in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for doing that for all of those farmers and support groups that the farmers have to use that are going to also be affected. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name, that there will be a wholesale praying effort up there, Lord, because I know that it was anything but you, Lord. Anybody with half a brain and one eye could tell that it comes from you, and it's getting their attention. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to fulfill what you want it to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for sending your angels up there right now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Okay, Dagano, go ahead.
All right. I had to have an electrocardiogram yesterday because of an issue I had with my heart last summer, and I had been telling them I was healed and everything was fine, and they just kind of looked at me. Anyway, everything's perfectly fine. Heart is healed and functioning as normal. They said I had a weak valve. It was sloshing backwards or whatever. And anyway, everything's working wonderfully. So I thank the Lord. I can just give him all the praise and honor and glory and praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And it's going to be a testimony to your grace, Lord.
That's absolutely right. Yep. Wonderful.
Amen.
So I guess that's it for me. And got a frog in my throat again.
Well, okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Leon.
Hey, Pam, who lived across the way from me, but now she lives downstairs. Anyway, she stopped me as I left this morning, and she said she had hurt her back and her leg was hurting. So I like to pray for her. Lord God, we just come to you, Lord, and we rebuke that back problem, and we rebuke the pain in the leg and the pain in the back as well. And she is a believer. She doesn't believe everything, but she knows Jesus. But I pray that you'd heal her up and take that pain away and just make her sound. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. She's healed. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead, Andrew.
Lord, I pray that the heat would be fixed in this building here. They're having problems with the boiler system downstairs, and they said it would take till mid-October. So I'm just asking, Lord, that you'd be with those workers and they get everything done nice and fine so we can have the heat on in the building here. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Andrew, it's 80 degrees in my room here.
Well, it's 47 and 50 outside, but I have a little plug-in heater here, so I went and bought one. So,
yeah. Okay. 40 something outside. Oh, gosh.
Keep it going by your bed.
Man. All right, anybody else? Lord, we just pray some warm weather up there for Andrew. Jesus, man. Man, I ought not to have to live like that. All right, go ahead, Dave.
This is not a personal prayer, but this is a prayer I have for work. I had a machine down for a couple days, and they got a little excited about that because we had to wait for parts to come in. And it's a... I had a program card that, and there's like seven of these cards in the machine, and they're all the same, but depending upon the location of the machine is what program it receives. And so the program I put in this card, when it came in that day, that night when they were running mail, it died on them. And it was dark. I mean, it's got all the lights on it, and they all went dead. So I had to put a new card in. I figured, no big deal. I'll just pop in a new one and get that thing programmed, and takes about an hour to program it, and everything went great. Looked at the screen, all my firmware is called, passed through it, great. So I went to plug some other computer stuff in to get it talking with that, and I came back and it was dead. And I thought, whoa, what happened here? And it was gone. It wasn't going to come back to life. For some reason, the program I pushed on it, it died. So then we got another one in today. And so I took that and put it in a different machine and got it programmed, then put that back in the other machine I've been having problems with, turned it on, and everything worked. So I'm praying in the name of the Lord that thing stays going. I don't have to deal with it again because I don't want to go in there and try to figure out what else is going on with this thing, because it's like, this goes into dark territory then. So in the name of the Lord, that thing's healed and it's not going to go down. When I power it out tomorrow, I'm powered up, everything will be fine. Thank you, Father.
Amen. That machine is healed in Jesus. What is it, CNC?
No, this is what it's called, a automatic phaser canceller. and it takes all your mail that we receive, and it cancels the stamp on it. And it's also it's how the post office kind of judges revenue coming back in. It's one of the ways, because they sell stamps for one thing, but then they also, when we get them back in, it's a way we know what we sold or canceling, if there's kind of a balance sheet there. It's like if all of a sudden you're canceling more mail than you're selling, it's like, where'd all these extra stamps come from? Because there was a time that people were taking old stamps, like down in Mexico, and they were washing off the cancellation marks and everything and putting it back in the system.
And how do you do that? How do you do that?
Amazing. The things people do. So they kind of watch that, and it's one of the, and so it's just, and they change the stamps up over time, and it's interesting machine, because the machine will actually puts a infrared light on the stamp, and it'll glow at that point, and we can change the frequency of the glow, so we know how much money was paid for that stamp. And we also, it'll maybe also give us a time date, because it, after so many years, it won't glow as much.
So that's an invasion of our privacy. Y'all quit that.
We're not really watching you as much as we're watching the revenue being spent.
Okay. So, listen, can y'all work on getting them stamps cheaper? Come on, man.
I tell you, I'm surprised it's so expensive, but man.
Oh, for goodness sake. I remember when they were 3 cents a piece.
I don't know, what do they cost now? About 50 cents?
Oh, you wish.
How much? 55?
55? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't buy stamps. I don't know. I get them for free. No, I'm kidding. No, my wife buys them, so I don't buy the stamps. So.
Yeah, okay. I don't forget, it's like $20 for a book of them.
It's kind of outrageous, I know.
Okay, well, anyway.
I'm like Bill Clinton, I feel your pain, but I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wish it could be better. Yeah.
Go ahead, Leah.
Hey, every time the post office announces they have a $2 billion excess, they raise the stamps. About 2 months later, they raise the stamp. So if you see a headline that they got $2 billion, the other parts of the government take it away from them.
Oh, they do. We had to, and this is a whole different subject, and it's not even related to what we're here to do here, but they do take a lot of money out of us. They look for ways to take money from the post office, because that's the way they can fund their government, which they're they're way out of debt, in debt, and so it's just it's a game.
They never decrease the postage; they always increase it.
No, but one of the biggest costs in the post office, believe it or not, is fuel. Driving,
it's what
the fuel prices kind of really throw a monkey wrench on things on it for us too. But the prices of fuel go up, that kind of makes it expensive.
Are they still, when a department has an excess of money, they cut that for the next year's budget? That's crazy.
I'm seeing some bad things happening too. I mean, there's some building guys I work with, and next week they're just dropping their jobs, what they normally do, giving them other things to do. And they're not going to be paying attention to important things in the office anymore, which keeps our machines going, because they're doing these stupid decisions, like our compressors and all that stuff. They're not going to be watching those air compressors, because we got huge air compressors. They got to stay on top of them. These aren't just normal little small things. These are huge things, and they got to watch and monitor and make sure their oil stays up on them. They're taking all the routes times away from them to do that kind of stuff, to go do something else, because they want to start reallocating how they spend their money, of course, and save money. But you know, when you get peanut counters involved, they just make a decision. They have no clue what they're going to affect. So we have, this is from my perspective of what's going on. That's just one little thing that's going to start the demise of a lot of things. You know, whenever they start making decisions about making cuts, people on making the decisions have no clue what they're doing. That's one problem.
Well, that's good.
Anyways, I'll get off it. But anyways,
that's good. The mail. Oh my! I remember when I could walk down to the post office. That post office has been shut down for 30 years, man. They shut down all the country's mail houses.
Next week we're putting in a couple computer systems that are I'm putting in two servers. They're probably about the size of maybe half of a. You grab your drawers for, you know, you put your clothes in, cut it in half, make it about 4 foot high. These are servers, and I put two of them in. They're going to take out, those two servers alone will take a footprint of 80 computers out of that little room.
Really?
That's technology. That's how things are going. So I'm just saying, you're seeing this stuff happen too. You see all this advanced technology going on that they're putting in place. Kind of eliminates my job over time, but there is advances that they're using because of technology out there.
Thanks, but when
you invest in stuff like that, it's really expensive. It's like there's one switch that we had to replace. They reordered real quick because it wasn't working right. And then it had NST, which is called National Support Technician, backdoors, and he got there and fixed it before it got there. But that switch alone was $35,000. Wow, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, prices are outrageous.
I think you'll probably be retiring early. They got AIs out there to take your job.
That's what's going on. Everybody's on the cloud. Anyways, goodbye. I'm done talking about it.
Okay. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got something they want to pray about? Yeah, Barry.
Yeah, we kind of have a praise report here up here in the Pacific Northwest. It got really cold two or three nights, down low 30s. And we prayed for the garden. You know, we got this garden out there that we keep busy with during the summer. Normally, it's good for several more weeks. And we prayed that the Lord would protect our garden. I went out yesterday morning, had to do the food bank thing, and had to take my truck over to pick up food. And had to scrape ice off the windshield out there. And yeah, it's not like, oh man. So got back and the garden's fine. You know, we had frost, but the garden is fine. We prayed the Lord protect it, and he did. And it's just amazing. I thank him and praise him that he's watching over us, and we pray and he's coming through. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it kind of reminds you of sheepskin tricks, wasn't it? No frost or no water, or water, either one. Okay, well, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for protecting their garden.
That's a good report. That's a very, you don't see that normally happen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody need any bell peppers? I got a freezer full and I still got peppers out there, Mikey. Red ones, yellow ones, green ones. If anybody wants any, I'll send you some in the post office.
It'll get there. It'll
can get they go through? Can they go through that machine?
It wouldn't be pretty.
Okay. All right. Well, praise God. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request, testimony, or praise report? Yeah, Missy.
Oh wow. Since you shared on Saturday about just getting still and quiet before the Lord and all. It's like, wow. I've been doing that, except maybe one day I didn't. What's today? What's Thursday, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, I have kind of but anyway, it's just like, I'm just amazed. Because between the Bible study last night that David shared, and plus this word that David put on the blog, you know, that he received. Can you read that for everybody? Because it's a really good word. It's and like verses that I've been, random verses that come up on my Vines app, and just verses that I've been in and stuff. It's just like, wow, the Lord is just confirming things that he's spoken to me. I mean, it's like the Bible study last night and this word that David posted on the blog that Michael's going to read, and then plus what the Lord's spoken to me, and plus verses that, you know, I've gotten on my Vines app. And it's just everything that I've been reading, and not everything, but the Lord brings me across verses and everything, that just everything is just coming together. And I'm like so encouraged, because, you know, the enemy really, let me share with you what the Lord spoke to me. That first time I sat there after Michael shared this with us. Where's that? Can't believe I can't find it now. Where did it go? I know I wrote it down. I'm sorry. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. Here it is. Well, I kind of like, you know, started out with telling the Lord that saying, I love you, Lord. And the Lord says, I love you too, Missy. And then, you know, there's lots of times where I tell him that I love him, and I just sense him saying that to me, back to me. But anyway, he says to me, be patient with Merle. I'm doing a work in him. Don't be discouraged. Just love him. Listen to him. Talk with him. Respect him. And that was the first thing that he spoke. And I'm like, okay, I just kind of like, I cast lots. I'm like, Lord, was this, you know, later on, maybe a couple hours later, what I said, Lord, is this what you said to me? Cast lots, and he gave me a yes, you know. But anyway, just kind of like double checking that it, you know, that it wasn't, you know, sometimes you wonder if it's your own mind, you know, thinking these things and stuff. Because, you know, like you said that the Lord used the word converse with you, and you said, that's not a word I use. But I think, though, lots of times the Lord is speaking to us, and we don't really recognize it, because he speaks to us in our own language. I think to some degree, not completely, but and therefore I don't think we always recognize it as being him. We think it's just us, you know. He speaks to us, you know. Anyway, like I said, our own language. But anyway, I just wanted to share that. And so I've been really encouraged. And like after I read this word that Michael's going to share, and there's something in there about angels. I can't remember exactly what it was, but what David said about, you know, sending out the angels to set the captives free and stuff like that. And then I was reading in Psalm 103 where it says, bless ye Lord, bless Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And that just really encouraged me, because it's just, you know, it's like when we're speaking as an oracle of God and making commands, we're speaking, you know, with God's authority. And we can command the angels. But anyway, so just wanted to share that.
Yeah, that's good. Missy, I hope everybody's doing it. Listening from the Lord. You're talking about the separation of the first fruit bride from the wedding guests?
Yeah. Okay.
Message received September the 30th, 2019. This is a lady, I don't know who she is, Judy something or other. Anyway, she says, speak, daughter of Zion. Tell my remnant that in a moment's notice, I will call you, my anointed ones, to your greatest service yet. The great refining of my called out one comes to its close. I have brought my portion out of the fires of purification and molded them into specifically refined and tailored instruments of truth, righteousness, holiness, and justice. The sacrificial lives of my remnant laid on the altar of purification have produced a yield of the most well-armed laborers who will now be sent into the fields to reap the great harvest of the end of days. It is my breastplate of righteousness that covers you, my helmet of salvation on your head, my shield of great faith that goes before you, my belt of truth in which you stand, my sword of the Spirit written on your hearts. The greatest work performed now will be the mighty work of my Spirit as I pour out upon my children and bring forth into its fullness the completed work of my manifested sons and daughters upon the earth for the world to see. Every word spoken in my holy word will have its fulfillment as you now journey through the time of the end. Oh my goodness, y'all. Woo-hoo! You who are most weary, my children, you who are most empty of all strength, you will now arise. You will arise now as the mightiest army ever known. You stand as a tree firmly planted in righteousness, and I have set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I will now restore your soul and your cup overflow. Praise God forevermore. You will receive double for your shame. The weapons once used against my chosen ones will return upon the heads of the enemy. As I infuse you with my power, my strength, and my authority, you will slay the wicked simply by the word of your mouth. And as you speak my judgments against them, you will rise with the wings of an eagle, and I, the Lord of hosts and captain, will utter my voice before you, the thunders before you. Glory to God. The day of the Lord is great and terrible. Who can abide it? And I will use you to cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before the nations. The proud and arrogant will be brought low, and the humble of spirit will be raised to their rightly status. Come on, Lord Jesus. As I deal a crushing blow to the enemy's camp with the arrival of my illuminated ones, Satan has amassed a great army in number, but terror will reign in his camp as the shining ones of the Most High are activated in the earth. The great shift is here and many will be brought low. I am about to return all the enemy has stolen from my people as the heathen mourns and laments his destruction. Great and unimaginable judgment comes, bringing much suffering and pain. In my justice, the world shall know that Yahweh Shabbat, the Lord of hosts, rules and reigns forever. There is none greater. And as my glory invades my jewels, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And this force carries far more weight and more might than any other weapon known to man, as it is the sword of my spirit, sent out across the earth through my transformed ones. It will pierce the hearts of all men and women, as I cut asunder the heart, dividing soul from spirit, exposing hidden evil intentions of the heart and illuminating truth with my light. Many of the lost will be convicted by what I present to them through my jewels. However, many will not. Many will have one last opportunity to choose eternal life or eternal death, and many will not. Many will perish, having been given that opportunity previously, but in their free will not have chosen me. A king's ransom is reserved for those who have paid the ultimate price in this life. As all I have belongs to you, my heirs, I will restore you, I will heal you, I will strengthen you and uphold you. I will bring you unto myself, and your reward will be great in my kingdom. Praise God forevermore. For those who have caused you harm and come against you, woe unto them, as their punishment will be great. You will do great things and display my witness to the world before I bring you home. I will capture hearts through my manifestation through you, and awe and wonder will again invade the earth. Prepare, prepare. Your king is coming. I am who I say that I am. Zechariah 13:9 says, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Glory be to God. Y'all understand what she's saying here? Those that have died to self are fixing to see some of the greatest manifestations the world has ever seen. And not only that, that the judgments that are coming are going to be greater than they've ever seen as well. But it's those that choose the Lord over themselves and the world. They're going to walk just like it. The anointing is coming. That's what he's telling us. The anointing is coming. That is going, that those things that we have struggled with, as long as we got our eyes on Jesus, it's going to just instantly overtake us. And we're going to be that special group, the anointed ones, the great refining of my called out one. That's what he's talking about. Ooh, what a God. Man. My. I think, Missy, didn't you put the link to it? So for those of you who want to see it, I think Missy put the link to it. Go ahead, Missy.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say then, another day, what the Lord spoke to me was, don't submit to the attacks on your mind. Rebel against them. And that's like, now that was something that would not have come to my mind, was to rebel against them, because you think of rebelling being a bad thing, you know, but, and then what the Lord brought to my mind was what what this word, part of what this, it's in this word. And from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force. And then another place in Luke 16:16, part of it says, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and every man entereth violently into it. But, you know, I was just like, wow, because that's not something I would have thought to say is to rebel against it, you know. And then the Lord brought that verse to my mind. So it's pretty kind of cool. I mean, it was just like, wow, the Lord was showing me things left and right this morning. I was just sitting here and I was going back over the Bible study last night. I was looking at something and the Lord reminded me of a dream that he gave me, you know, and he's like saying, you know, he's telling me, Missy, you know, I didn't give you that dream for everybody else and not you, you know, and that it's for you, but it's also for everybody else to encourage them. It's like, take it for yourself, believe what that dream was, you know? And anyway, it's just, yeah, it's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord. Can you lead us in a prayer, like David said on the Bible study last night about, you know, sending forth the angels, you know, and there's a family reunion and it's, you know, and Eve said, you know, that this is for all the elect that's been taken captive in apostasy and this is for our families, you know, that we've been praying and believing for. And, you know, just, together, put our faith together and everybody, with their authority to send forth the angels to set these captives free. Cause, you know, the Lord in that word told me not to be discouraged. And then the very next day, Merle and I were having this conversation and I thought he understood something according to the word or whatever. And it's something that we've gone rounds about, you know, it's not just something that's on paper, but it's something, that's actually hit home. And so the enemy just, I was like kind of discouraged for a day or two. And it was just like, and that's when the Lord said to me, don't submit to the attack. So that, you know, believe, you know, and then the sending forth of the angels, you know, I was just like really pumped up, encouraged when I really started thinking more about and looking back at the Bible study last night, plus the sword and everything. So I'm pumped up. So I'm just like, get them angels going, get them busy. Amen.
I didn't hear what he said, but we can pray, I guarantee. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just ask that you send your angels forth to gather in the crop, Lord, gather in the people that we've been praying for over all these many years. You said, Lord, that if we pray and believe that you're going to do it. And I'm asking you to send your angels forth to gather this crop in, to work on them, Lord, and to bring them into the kingdom. I thank you for that, Father, for all of us, for every one of us that's been doing it. And Lord, I ask and I pray that your angels go out to those right now. it might be struggling to pick them up, Lord, and put them back on that road. And I praise you for them, Father. Lord, I thank you for this awesome prophetic word that you've given us. I can't imagine the things that are coming, but I sure am glad they're coming. And I thank you, Father, for doing it. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Prepare all of our hearts. And I send out your angels for those people that have fallen away, that were a part of this ministry many years that have fallen away, Lord. I ask that you do a work in them. We still love them, Lord. We don't want them to go the way of the world. We want you to ask in their behalf, Lord, to act in their behalf. And we ask, Lord, that you send your angels out to bring them back in, Lord. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I'll tell you what, I'm just so thrilled that this great end time revival is fixing to start with this anointing of your bride. This anointing of your bride, Lord, it's going to be the catalyst that brings this revival on in your man child. Your man-child anointing, that wisdom, that power that Jesus had and more will be evident in all of the bride and the man-child in the coming days. And I know that it's going to bring the harvest in. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for all of those out there that are struggling, that are hearing my voice, even after it's recorded. That they'd call out to you, Lord, and your angels would go right straight to them, Father, and help them and bring them back in. I praise you for that, Lord. Some of them even are thinking out there that the people that they have come against in this fellowship, that we hate them. No, we don't hate them. We love them. We've been praying for them ever since they left. I know that there have been a lot of things done that have hindered. But, Lord, we forgive them. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring them back in. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for working in our hearts to receive them as a brother or sister back into the fellowship. Lord, we don't know exactly what you have in mind other than what you've shown us through the prophetic. But boy, it sure looks good. And we just ask you to prepare our hearts for this time ahead, Lord, that we would be a part of it. Put it in our hearts to completely surrender everything to you, Lord. Completely die to ourselves and to allow you to come alive. Let that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ come alive in everybody listening to my voice. And I thank you for it, Father, that the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ be a walking and a talking throughout this world in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for doing that for all of us that want it. Praise you, Father. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. My, my, my. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, I wish I was here in my room. Thank you, Jesus. I see you, Joe. Just hang on just a minute here. I got to start piecing in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Joe.
You be all right? You be good? All right. Just like contain yourself now. No, I was just saying, you were talking about the anointing there, and I don't know if you remember that testimony about a month ago when I was at the grocery store, and I was just at like total peace and relaxed. You know, the flesh was totally dead. I think that was like the Lord showed me something, because the next day at work, I don't think I remember telling anybody this. But, you know, he spoke to me at work, you know, like how you brought up anointing. And then he spoke to me. I was just working, you know, like lately. I mean, this is the way he's just spoken to me. I'll work and I don't even think about it. And he just says something to me, or he does something like, you know, when I was interceding for people about a week ago. But he spoke to me and he said, well, imagine what you experienced yesterday with the anointing. And I mean, I was just at total peace. You know, I mean, I've been in situations before where like the enemy's just running rampant, you know, people are frantically running around in the store, you know, I mean, things are crazy. So you can imagine when the judgments start hitting, how people are going to react. I mean, but he said, you know, imagine the peace you felt, you know, imagine you were just at total rest. I mean, nothing fazed me. I was totally unfazed. I was just at total peace. And he just said to me, imagine that with the, you know, anointing, you know, with the, like you mentioned, the bride will receive the fullness of the former rain. You know, the man child will be the first to receive the latter rain. And then we who, you know, as we overcome, will receive the latter rain. But I thought, whatever anointing it is, it doesn't matter. It's just, he, you know, he just said with the anointing, he didn't specify, but with the anointing. And I said, I you know, it's just like, wow. Yeah. It just kind of dawned on me. I'm like, wow, magnify what I felt times like a trillion or something, you know, and it'll just be total chaos around us. I mean, people are totally unglued, you know, freaking out, but we're at total peace. We're just totally relaxed, total peace, not even moved an inch. So I thought I'd say that because, you know, you talked about the anointing. I thought, oh, yeah, that's going to be powerful.
So. Yeah, it's something that's going to stay with you, too. It doesn't come and go. It's going to be so. And even now, you receive rest in that anointing by faith. And so it's an everyday thing. You ask the Lord, Lord, I want the same thing you gave me yesterday. I'm not talking about everybody. I want the same anointing you gave me yesterday that I overcame. I want that overcoming power. And I also want to be able to be led by your Spirit. Lord, take my hand and lead me wherever I needs to go. In the name of Jesus, he'll do it. Okay, anyone else? Okay. Anybody got any comments or questions or prayer requests? Hey, Joe Britt. How you doing, buddy? Good morning to you.
Morning, everybody. What can I say? I did get some experience Monday morning and yesterday morning, but I haven't typed it up yet to show you. It's going to be a bit complicated to tell you now. So experience was also a revelation for me, a wake-up call, but the Lord is working with me, talking to me, but that is just more, I need to, I would like to pray for the Lord to be more specific for me and understanding. It's a bit broad. I'm not sure if you can understand. But I'll type it up and I'll send it to you. You can just give me some comments on that if you don't mind. You can understand that, Michael.
I got to unmute before you can hear me now. Okay. Well, okay, Joe. We're going to pray for you. And I believe I understood you that you want more understanding from the Lord. You want to be able to hear him. Okay, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to prophesy to you right now. When I pray for you, when we pray for you, because everybody in here is going to be praying with me, believing with me, the Lord's going to speak to you when you get in that quiet place. The first time you get into it, he's going to speak to you loudly, and he's going to tell you some things. Here's what you need to do. You need to write them down. Write everything he tells you. All of it down, and then abide by what he tells you. Okay? All right, well, Father, you heard Joe's request. Lord, just like you talked to me, just like you talked to Eve, just like you talked to Missy, just like you talked to Marilyn and Barry and everybody in here, Lord, I ask that the next time that Joe Britt it's in his quiet time with you, that you would speak to him in a way that he would understand that it's coming from you, Lord, just like you did to me. I mean, it was loud and clear. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'd ask that you do the same for Joe Brips and everybody else in here, too, as far as that goes. And Lord, I thank you for that, because it'll put him on the road to talking with you every day. You told me that you wanted to converse with me all the time. And I know you do everybody else in here too, Lord, that you want to talk with them all the time. You want to be their friend. You want to be their brother. And Father, just like you told me, I know you love Joe, and I know you're going to do it. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Is everybody in here thank you? Believe that? I believe it. Praise God. I know it's going to happen, Joe.
Thank you. Amen.
Okay. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Lord of God. Ooh, my, my, my. Those pistachios must be anointed. Oh, it's Jesus. That's all Jesus. Praise God. Anybody else? Now, I prayed that for everybody in here. So when you get in your quiet place, get your pen and paper and be ready, because he's going to tell you something. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe it. I know it's going to happen. He wants everybody to talk to me. All of his brothers and sisters to talk to him. And I'm ashamed that I hadn't done it before now. You know, I mean, just get quiet and just wait. Tell the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. I want to hear what you've got to tell me. And be ready. And look, here's what he did for me, Joe. He'd tell me something. And then I'd start writing. He'd wait till I got through writing it down. And as soon as I got through writing it down, he'd come back with something else. I'd write that down. Then he'd come back and tell me something else. He'd wait until I got through writing it down. That's how important it was for him, for us to write it down. You know why he wants us to write it down? So we'll have a record of it, and we can go back and check, say, if we're doing what he asked us to do. Amen. Y'all look bored to death. I'm telling you the truth. I'm sitting here talking Jesus, glory to God, and y'all look like you're just holding up air. You're breathing air. Go ahead, Joe.
Didn't you say he talked to you like he was, like, you know, you're a native Arkansas tongue there? That time he was talking?
Well, Joe, he is from Arkansas. I just have to let you know a little secret here.
Okay. I learned something new today.
Well, he just talks to me. I understand what he said. I don't know. You know, I was kidding about the Arkansas thing. He talks to me to where I can understand him. He uses the same words that I do. Missy's laughing. She knows some of the words that he don't use those kind of words.
Delicious your language.
And things like that. Yeah.
No, there was I think he was a special forces guy. He was an apostle, but he spoke something. He gave a testimony of the same thing. You know, he said, the Lord speaks to me. He speaks to me like a drill sergeant. You know, he's real firm with me and correct. And I was like, really? So, I mean, it kind of reminded me of that. I thought, okay, well, if that's the way the Lord speaks to you, okay.
No, the Lord didn't speak to me like that. He spoke to me like a matter of fact, you know.
No, yeah.
Just kind of a matter of factly.
This was that guy.
He said, I want you to know. This thing, then I want you to work on this and da 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 da, and you know, just things. I ain't telling you what it is. On email, ain't your business. Praise the Lord. All right, what else? somebody sent me some habanero pistachios. Ooh, that's so good. Okay. Anybody else now? Before we jump off into the shepherd. I gotta find my shepherd book. You know, there was a, I wished I could have found it before tonight. Maybe next time I'll get it, but the Lord was, you need to say something, Leah?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I want Joe to put that website on, or the link to that book again, because I downloaded it last night, but I can't find it anywhere on my computer. So I'll have to have, if you got link.
Leon, I'm fixing to email it to you.
Okay.
I'll just email it to you.
That'll be fine.
My iPad. But anyway, in the that book by Andy Murray, I can't remember if it's in the Holy Spirit book or the Believer's the Indwelling. But he talks about our life like Jesus' life, and how that Jesus came to earth, leaving that good place up there. He came to earth born again, okay? And then he grows up. He's growing up. He's having to go through the same trials that we go through. And then he was persecuted, like we are at times. And I'm not giving it much justice, but he likened it. And he said, our life is like Jesus' life. We've been crucified. He wants us to crucify our flesh. And then die. When he died, what happened? He was resurrected, went to the right hand of the Father, and his glory is now 100 times more than it was before. And that's the way he's doing us. We're fixing to see the same thing. Just think about it. When you die to self, and when there's nothing left but Jesus, he's going to bless your socks off. He's going to do it. Just think about that. Think about the life of Christ, and that's your life, your spiritual life as well. Maybe next week I can get that out to you. Hey, Gano, can I ask you a question? Gano.
I unmuted me.
Okay. Did you get that book?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much for sending it.
Okay. All right. Then let me send it to Leon, too. I'll just forward hers on to you, Leon. Give me a minute here, folks. Somebody talk while I do this. Now, some of you don't have no problem talking. Now, come on.
I'd kind of like to get one of those books, too. Download it to me or email me. I don't know if the speaker is working or not. This mic, rather, the mic. Hello? Joe, you hear me? Okay.
Loud and clear.
Hey, Wade, can you hear me?
Yes, we're very well.
Did you see that you needed a copy also?
Yes, I'd like one. I'm not real good at fishing around.
Okay, that's all I need, a yes or no. I got it. I got you on there, buddy.
That sounds good.
Okay. Here it comes, y'all. All right. Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. Hey, Jeanette. Boy, you looking good tonight, girl.
Thank you.
Y'all getting any rain down there, Wade?
Very little recently.
Okay, good.
Raining last week.
It was raining last week for sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get on chapter 2. How many of you read chapter 2? Okay. Now, can y'all hear me okay? All right. I shall not be in want. What a proud, positive, bold statement to make. Obviously, this is the sentiment of a sheep utterly satisfied with its owner, perfectly content. Let's see. Perfectly content with its lot in life. Listen to this. Since the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. Oh, glory to God. Y'all see that? That's good stuff there. Actually, the word want as used here has a broader meaning than might at first be imagined. No doubt the main concept is that of not lacking, not deficient in proper care, management, or husbandry. But a second emphasis is the idea of being utterly contented in the Good Shepherd's care and consequently not craving or desiring anything more. This may seem a strange statement for a man like David to have made if we think in terms only of physical or material needs. After all, he had been hounded and harried repeatedly by the forces of his enemy, Saul, as well as by those of his own estranged son, Absalom. He was obviously a man who had known intense privation, deep personal poverty, acute hardship, and anguish of spirit. Therefore, it is absurd to assert on the basis of this statement that the child of God, the sheep in the shepherd's care, will never experience lack or need. How many of you know we all do that? We all have those problems. It is imperative to keep a balanced view of the Christian life. To do this, it is well to consider the careers of men like Elijah, John the Baptist, our Lord himself, and even modern men of faith such as Livingstone, to realize that all of them experienced great personal privation and adversity. When he was among us, the great shepherd himself warned his disciples before his departure for glory that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And one of the fallacies that is common among Christians today is the assertion that if a man or woman is prospering materially, it is a significant mark of the blessing of God upon his or her life. This simply is not so. Rather, in bold contrast, we read in Revelation 3:17, you say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. or in an equally pointed way, Jesus made clear to the rich young ruler who wished to become his follower, one thing you lack, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then come, follow me. And based on the teachings of the Bible, we can only conclude that David was not referring to material or physical property or poverty when he made the statement, I shall not be in want. For this very reason, the Christian has to take a long, hard look at life. He has to recognize that as with many of God's choice people before him, he may be called on to experience lack of wealth or material benefits. He has to see his sojourn upon the planet as a brief interlude during which there may well be some privation in a physical sense. Yet amid such hardship, he can still boast, I shall not want, I shall not lack the expert care and management of my master. To grasp the inner significance of this simple statement, it's necessary to understand the difference between belonging to one master or another, to the good shepherd or to an impostor. Jesus himself took great pains to point out to anyone who contemplated following him that it was quite impossible to serve two masters. One belonged either to him or to another. When you're serving the flesh, you're not serving Jesus. When you're serving the world, you ain't serving Jesus. When you're serving Jesus, you're in the kingdom. Praise be to God. So that's something we always ought to keep in our mind. When all is said and done, the welfare of any flock is entirely dependent upon the management afforded them by their owner. The tenant sheepman on the farm next to my first ranch was the most indifferent manager I had ever met. He was not concerned about the condition of his sheep. His land was neglected. He gave little or no time to his flock, letting them pretty well forage for themselves as best they could, both summer and winter. And they fell prey to dogs, cougars, and rustlers. Let me ask you sheep herders out there, if you left that sheep out there, Tim, in one place, now I believe you told me that they would eat that thing all the way down to the roots and it wouldn't be nothing but dirt when they got through with it. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're creatures of habit, and they got a particular place they like, or they hang out, or, just where they want to be. And they'll graze it down to nubbins, and then if they're, they eat out of boredom, I think, a lot of times, or, more than hunger, but then they'll just paw at the roots and dig those up because they're tender and they can chew on them. So they'll dig it down to just plain bare dirt.
And what happens to the ground when they do that? Erosion sets in, doesn't it? It's just bad ground after that, right?
Exactly. There's nothing.
All kinds of diseases.
And also the sheep get parasites if they eat the grass too short. Right at the very bottom, for some reason, it harbors parasites. And we didn't have trouble with that, but I did some research on it. And it wasn't a good thing for them to eat it down that low.
Yeah. Okay. So they needed to be led to different pastures, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Kind of like us, we don't need to just do the same thing over and over and over again and expect to get a different result. Every year, these poor creatures were forced to gnaw away at bare, brown fields and impoverished pastures. Every winter, there was a shortage of nourishing hay and wholesome grain to feed the hungry ewes. Shelter to safeguard and protect the suffering sheep from storms and blizzards was scanty and inadequate. They had only polluted muddy water to drink. There had been a lack of salt and other trace minerals needed to offset their sickly pastures. In their thin, weak, and diseased condition, these poor sheep were a pathetic sight. Why would somebody spend good money on livestock and not take care of it? I've seen that people with cattle, too, do the same thing. That don't make a whole lot of sense to me.
It's kind of like with the Lord, he has to, he expends effort to make our being prosperous, and that's what a good shepherd does too. There's a lot of work, you got to put up hay and grain, and we have grass pellets. We get a couple tons of those, and we'd have to put those up for the winter, and we had to haul water to them, and you have to take care of them. And that's what the Lord does for us. He puts an effort into it.
He gives us the manna, and he gives us the water out of the rock, don't he? Praise the Lord. In my mind's eye, I can still see him standing at the fence, huddled sadly in little knots, staring wistfully through the wires at the rich pastures on the other side. To all their distress, the heartless, selfish owner seemed utterly callous and indifferent. He simply did not care. What if his sheep did want green grass, fresh water, shade, safety, or shelter from the storm? What if they did want relief from wounds, bruises, disease, and parasite? He ignored their needs. He couldn't care less. Why should he? They were just sheep, fit only for the slaughterhouse. I never looked at those poor sheep with that acute awareness that this was a precise picture of those wretched old taskmasters. Sin and Satan on their derelict ranch, scoffing at the plight of those within their power. As I have moved among men and women from all strata of society, as both a lay pastor and as a scientist, I have become increasingly aware of one thing. It's the boss, the manager, the master in people's lives who make the difference in their destiny. I have known some of the wealthiest men on this continent intimately, also some of the leading scientists and professional people. Despite their dazzling outward show of success, despite their affluence and their prestige, they remain poor in spirit, shriveled in soul, and unhappy in life. They were jawless people held in the iron grip and heartless ownership of the wrong master. By way of contrast, I have numerous friends among relatively poor people, people who have known hardship, disaster, and the struggle to stay afloat financially. But because they belong to Christ and have recognized him as Lord and Master of their lives, their owner and manager, they are permeated by a deep, quiet, subtle peace that is beautiful to behold. It is indeed a delight to visit some of these humble homes where men and women are rich in spirit, generous in heart, and a large of soul. They radiate a serene confidence and quiet joy that surmounts all the tragedies of their time. Have any of you ever been in those places? I have. Back when I first became a Christian, you'd walk into, you knew they were holy. Walk into there and they'd be just joy everywhere. You'd be in the rest. I'm telling you, it's just peaceful in the house, And then you go back to your own house, it's like a war, I said, I want that peace and that joy in my house. And that's when he wants us to go ahead and start praying. Praise God. It is indeed a delight to visit some of these humble homes where men and women are rich in spirit, generous in heart, and large of soul. They radiate a serene confidence and quiet joy that surmounts all the tragedies of their time. They are under God's care and they know it. They have entrusted themselves to Christ's control and found contentment. Contentment should be the hallmark of the man or woman who has put his or her affairs in the hands of God. This especially applies in our affluent age. But the outstanding paradox is the intense fever of discontent among people who are ever speaking of security. Despite an unparalleled wealth in material assets, we are outstandingly insecure and unsure of ourselves and well nigh bankrupt in spiritual values. Always men are searching for safety beyond themselves. They are restless, unsettled, covetous, greedy for more, wanting this and that, yet never really satisfied in spirit. I knew a guy, still know him. Friend, he was a high school friend of mine. And this was many years ago. He was buying up. His dad was a farmer. And he became the head of the farm. And he started buying farms. And he's buying farms. And he's buying farms. And he got up to about 50,000 acres. And I was in his office one day. And I said, man, talking to him. I said, John, I said, how much land does it take, brother? He said, Michael, I just want what's next to mine. Now think about that a minute. He wants it all. He wants it all. But he was a very sad man. Very sad man. But I understand that he came to Christ years later in the Baptist religion. But at least he's learning about God, and I've been praying for him, praying that God would change his heart. Okay, let's see. Always men are searching for safety beyond themselves. They are restless, unsettled, covetous, greedy for more, wanting this and that, yet never really satisfied in spirit. By contrast, the simple Christian, the humble person, the shepherd's sheep, can stand up proudly and boast, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. Oh, praise God. Has anybody got any questions or any comments on what we've talked about? Yeah, Joe.
Michael?
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
I was just going to share a little incident that happened to me this summer. When I had taken all the corn off of the first row, Marlon always would dig up the stalks and take it over to the neighbors and feed it to their cows. And so I thought, well, I might as well do that too, because, you know, the plants are still all nice and green yet. So I called a different neighbor that had some cows and calves right across the road from me. And I asked him if he thought his cows might like, you know, that green corn, and he said, well, sure. So I dug out just half of them and gave them to him on one day, and I took them over to the cows, and they loved them, because the pasture they were in was really, really short, and he was just feeding them dry hay in a feeder, and anyway, they just scarfed that right down quick. So then the next day, I dug out the rest of the row and gave it to them. And of course they were delighted. And then 3 days later, I got a phone call when I was gone. And he said, you made my cows get out. Anyway, I caused them to be not satisfied with what he was feeding them. And he thought they were fighting while they were eating the green stalks, and that's why they got out. But I was wondering, why did they wait 3 days? Because, I mean, that corn was gone as soon as I put it in there. But anyway, it kind of made me think of, you know, if you're comparing it with the word, he was just giving them dry food, which, you know, you could maybe compare that to what they might be getting in the apostate church, that there was no life in it. But I gave them some live food, and so they broke out, and they were looking for real food. And I thought it was really kind of cool the way it all happened. It took him several days to get them all in because they didn't want to go back in that pasture. But eventually he did get them. I felt a little bad that they got out for him and he had a hard time, but it just really was a good picture of the true word of God, and that you know, is really lacking in the power of the word. And Greg was giving me a bad time about being a troublemaker in my community here. I said, well, I was really sorry about that, but I asked him ahead of time if it would be okay and if he thought they'd like it, and he was sure that they would, and I kind of got a kick out of it, because then later he rented a bin from us, and some corn stalks grew up around the outside because some of the kernels, you know, when you're putting it in there, some of them fly out. And so there were some stalks of corn around the base of the bin. And he came over and cut those off and fed them to his cattle. Anyway, I got a kick out of it. I thought it was kind of funny in the end.
But
his kids were sure telling me, boy, you need to not do that. You need to throw it way far away from the fence so that doesn't happen. And I said, don't worry, I'll let your dad feed the cows the way he wants to feed them, but he can sure have them if he wants them. So anyway, mm-hmm. He came over after the corn and fed it to them. But okay. I thought it was kind of cool. They like live food too, just like we do. And kind of like, you know, when people leave a denominational church, you know, some of the people, they're just really upset. You know, and I was seeing, because he had a really good fence around him. I couldn't believe they even got out, but they did. But anyway, it was interesting. And that was all I wanted to share. But when he was talking about the sheep being in the pasture with no grass, that's kind of how the cows and calves were.
Amen. Cassie's a good thing. He's going for it.
That's right. They want that green on the other side. Okay, that was all I wanted to share.
All right, thanks, Kano. Go ahead, Joe.
Now, I was going to share when I was reading earlier there, they about the the sickly looking sheep, the one with the, you know, the good for nothing, I guess you could say, to put it nicely, the shepherd who didn't really care for him. My old job came to mind before I even started reading the How Shall We Die book and dying to the old man. I was serving the old man, and I felt just like those sheep. I mean, that whole situation came to mind. I remember I was just, I mean, you know, bitter, unhappy. I mean, just serving the flesh. Well, you know, we know what it's like serving the flesh and how dead we are. I mean, it just kind of, I was just full. I mean, not even full of life, you know, like I am now. Or, you know, attempting to serve them, you know, the true shepherd, Jesus. But as I was serving my flesh, and I'm wondering, I mean, I was just totally restless as he spoke of the sheep. Discontent, there was no contentment serving the flesh, you know, being at a, but I guess what came to mind was my employer, you know, kind of, I mean, it didn't really dawn on me of the flesh, like you said, Michael, but I was like, well, I had a really ruthless employer. You know, I mean, if you would have thought of him as a shepherd, yeah, he had that same kind of attitude, like, they're just employees, you know, they're there to make money for this company. I don't care how they feel, you know, if they're working 7-12s an hour, if they're tired, physically, mentally exhausted, who cares, you know, you're making us money. So yeah, I just felt like, I'm like, my goodness, you know, I could see how a sheep would feel, and they'd all gather up against the fence like, oh, we'd love to go over there. You know, I would think from time to time before I really came against the flesh and, you know, forgave, especially, you know, got rid of the unforgiveness, I would always think, man, there's got to be a better job out there. You know, Lord, send me somewhere else. This place is killing me. You know, what do I do? So yeah, just that total restlessness that's always in the flesh. You know, you're never at rest, discontent, you know, no peace. And so I just, that kind of dawned on me. I thought, oh yeah, I was like one of those sheep, you know, for a while until I really met Jesus or really understood what it meant to follow him and not the flesh anymore. So, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for lessons learned. Praise you, Father. Amen. All right, anybody else want to comment on anything we talked about? Okay. Well, Philip says, I am completely satisfied with his management of my life. Why? Because he is the sheep man to whom no trouble is too great as he cares for his flock. He is the rancher who is outstanding because of his fondness for sheep, who loves them for their own sake as well as his personal pleasure in them. He will, if necessary, be on the job 24 hours a day to see that they are properly provided for in every detail. And above all, he is very jealous of his name and high reputation as the Good Shepherd. He is the owner who delights in his flock. For him, there's no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than that of seeing his sheep contented, well-fed, safe, and flourishing under his care. This is indeed his very life. He gives all he has to it. He literally lays himself out for those who are his. He will go to no end of trouble and labor to supply them with the finest grazing, the richest pastures, ample winter feed, and clean water. He will spare himself no pains to provide shelter from storms, protection from ruthless enemies, and the diseases and parasites to which sheep are so susceptible. No wonder Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And again, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Praise God. That's Jesus. He loves us so much, he went to the cross for us. And he wants us to go to our cross too. From early dawn until late at night, this utterly selfless shepherd is alert to the welfare of his flock. For the diligent sheep man rises early and goes out first thing every morning without fail to look over his flock. Excuse me. It is the initial intimate contact of the day with a practiced, searching, sympathetic eye. He examines the sheep to see that they are fit and content and able to be on their feet. In an instant, he can tell if they have been molested during the night, whether any are ill, or if there are some which require special attention. Repeatedly throughout the day, he casts his eye over the flock to make sure that all is well. Nor even at night is he oblivious to their needs. He sleeps, as it were, with one eye and both ears open, ready at the least sign of trouble to leap up and protect his own. That's nice to know, you know, that God is there 24/7, ready to take care of us in our hour of need, if need be. There is a sublime picture of the care given to those whose lives are under Christ's control. He knows all about their lives from morning to night. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. He who watches over you will not slumber. In spite of having such a master and owner, the fact remains that some Christians are still not content with his control. They are somewhat dissatisfied, always feeling that somehow the grass beyond the fence must be a little greener. These are carnal Christians. One might almost call them fence crawlers or half Christians who want the best of both worlds. I once owned a ewe whose conduct exactly typified this sort of person. She was one of the most attractive sheep that ever belonged to me. Her body was beautiful, beautifully proportioned. She had a strong constitution and an excellent coat of wool. Her head was clean, alert, well set with bright eyes, and she bore sturdy lambs that matured rapidly. But in spite of all these attractive attributes, she had one pronounced fault. She was restless, discontent, a fence crawler. So much so that I came to call her Mrs. Gadabout. This one ewe produced more problems for me than almost all the rest of the flock combined. Sound like a Vashti, doesn't it? No matter what field or pasture the sheep were in, she would search all along the fences or shoreline. We lived by the sea, looking for a loophole she could crawl through and start to feed on the other side. It was not that she lacked pasturage. My fields were my joy and delight. No sheep in the district had better grazing. With Mrs. Gadabout, it was an ingrained habit. She was simply never contented with things as they were. Oh, Jezebel. Often when she had forced her way through some such spot in a fence or found a way around the end of the wire at low tide on the beaches, she would end up feeding on bare, brown, burned-up pasturage of a most inferior sort. But she never learned her lesson and continued to fence crawl time after time. Now, it would have been bad enough if she was the only one who did this. It was a sufficient problem to find her and bring her back. But the further point was that she taught her lambs the same tricks. They simply followed her example and soon were as skilled at escaping as their mother. Even worse, however, was the example she set for the other sheep. In short time, she began to lead others through the same hole and over the same dangerous paths down by the sea. After putting up with her perverseness for a summer, I finally came to the conclusion that to save the rest of the flock from becoming unsettled, she'd have to go. I could not allow one obstinate, discontented ewe to ruin the whole ranch operation. One bad apple. It was a difficult decision to make, for I loved her in the same way I loved the rest. Her strength and beauty and alertness were a delight to the eye. But one morning, I took the killing knife in hand and butchered her. Her career of fence crawling was cut short. It was the only solution to the dilemma. She was a sheep who, in spite of all that I had done to give her the very best care, still wanted something else. She was not like the one who said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." And it's a solemn warning to the carnal Christian, backslider, the half-Christian, the Samaritan, the one who wants the best of both worlds. Sometimes in short order, they can be cut down. Well, amen. What y'all think about that? That chapter kind of reminds us of where we came from sometimes, don't it? Go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, we had that exact you in our flock for the last 7 or 8 years. Just the troublemaker, always never satisfied. In fact, I was talking to Anna about it this afternoon. I said, "You got to listen to this audio, this book, you know." I said, there's a gal in there or a sheep in there named just like Flicka. And she knew exactly, you know, all the trouble that Flicka was. She, we only had like 8 sheep, but there was one troublemaker. You know, anytime something went sideways, it was Flicka. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
That begs to ask another question. Did she end up being lamb chops, or did you keep her anyway?
Well, she wore good lambs, and I think I told you last time that we had a Judas in the herd, and that was her.
Yeah.
There's anywhere that I wanted with a handful of grain or a sheet of hay, so we kept her around just because I could get the others to follow her. So.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Missy.
What came to my mind towards the end there that you were reading was a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if we're being disobedient to the Lord and not receiving correction and not repenting and, you know, left to, you know, among other Christians, you know, we can lead them astray too. I mean, you know, it's like another thing is that evil companionship corrupts good morals, you know. So one bad apple spoils the whole bunch, doesn't it? It's another way of saying it too, but yeah, that was just, I was just like, wow, what a parable, an example that story. Wow, it's just like, whoa. It kind of really, wow.
She was, Miss Gadabout reminds me of the Israelites out in the desert before the finally came to the promised land. They always murmured, this ain't good enough. I'm going to go over there and get me some more. You know, Miss Gatter, that's just what came to me is that. Jumping around. The Lord had them going around the mountain, all around the mountain. All right, anybody else? That was a good story. It's a good parallel. Yeah, Denny.
Okay, I had to bring it down to a narrower. I got a bar across the bottom of my stuff, and I can't get at the. And I found out if I put the, just on half the screen, then I can do it. But anyway, I don't know if it's in this book or another book, but he mentioned if you have a sheep that's a wayward sheep like that, that you would have to break their leg, and then of course you have to wrap it, and it would mend, and they'd have to carry it, but it would be close to the shepherd. Because of that, in the healing process, but that whole thing, but that's what we have to do to get a sheep that wanted to run off all the time was break their leg, and then you'd have, you know, while it's mending, it's close to the shepherd, and then it all changes their perspective on life, sort of. But I don't know. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, that worked for me.
Yeah.
Amen. I had heard that before. I didn't know that it was. Something that they use very often. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what you just said, Denny, reminded me of Jacob wrestling with the Lord and the Lord smiting him in his leg or whatever, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, amen. He limped him for a while. Got him closer to him.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to do that, Tim or Kano? Did y'all ever have to break them sheep legs?
Not that I remember. I don't remember that. But our neighbor, the one whose cattle got out here this summer, the one that was the troublemaker, he sold her and her calf because the calf is just like the mother, which is what Tim was saying about the ewe and her lamb, that yeah. The mother teaches the baby her same habits.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be steak for a while.
You're right.
I'm telling you. the lamb
chops. Yeah, I don't ever remember that happening. I know we had sheep get out, and it seemed like if one got out, the rest of them would just follow suit and just bail over the fence and away they go. Yeah, I do remember that. But I don't remember there being a certain one. Now, maybe there was, and I wasn't paying that close of attention. But when we had 400, and they all looked pretty much alike. So I can't say that I would probably have noticed.
Y'all didn't notch the ears?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
Okay. All right. Oh, my. Well, I can't imagine 400 of them. Did y'all have any shepherds?
Could we?
Y'all have any shepherd dog?
No. I guess if there was a shepherd dog, it was probably me. And I wasn't very good at it.
Okay. All right. Well, Marlon trained you up good, didn't he?
We're good, because he would be out in the field on a tractor, and I was one here with him. And so,
had to babysit the sheep, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Greg, too.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I did have to herd sheep when I was growing up. We had sheep, and we would, just leave them out on our lane, and I was supposed to watch them. And the ewes weren't so bad, but I was afraid of the ram, and he knew that. And he would get past me and get away, and Dad would not be happy with me. But it did happen. But I had to call for help.
All right. Oh my, it's time to go. It's about time to go. Well, okay, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful story that we're learning, that we're relating here. And we thank you for old Philip Keller. We thank you, Father, that we are learning some things, parallels between the shepherd and the shepherd, you, Lord. We thank you for teaching us these things, teaching us how to become closer to you is not to be out to gad about and just to be satisfied with being with you, Lord. I ask that you be with us over this weekend. Bring us closer to you, Lord. And we thank you for your angels that are out there right now doing the work that we've asked them to do. Thank you, Lord, that people that we've sent them out there to minister to are going to be coming in. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for draining the swamp, protecting President Trump and his family, and the men and women that are supporting him. Thank you for this, these millions upon millions of people that are backing Trump. Lord, it seems like that every time the enemy tries something else against him, that he garners more support. And that's just awesome. They can't get any work done up there because of their hatred, Lord, as you know. And I'm asking you to bring them down. Clean house. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the healings going to take place. Thank you for that boy down there in the jail that George was praying for earlier, his prayers will be answered. And Lord, we thank you that he's now your child in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do for us this weekend. And we ask, Lord, that you come, we all come back together again now, Tuesday night, and have some great testimonies and praise reports, Lord, of your mighty power in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Praise be to God. Let's see here. All right, got everybody unmuted.
Good night, everybody.
All righty, good night, everybody. Yes.
Hey, David, you're going to be going Saturday night, aren't you?
I'll be there.
Okay.
All right.
We got pot blessings, so I don't.